So today on the Harris Challenge, I'm happy to welcome back to the show, to act as the lifeline for the game today, man has been appearing on the show on and off for more than two decades, Graham Nash. First, a little taste of one of his most recent songs.
Just another morning cup of tea, I turn my radio on, and in between the static and the headlines, I heard that you were gone. We lost another one.
One of the great voices of rock and roll, Graham Nash. I'm so happy to have him back on the show. Hello, Graham.
Paul, how are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, every time I hear your voice, I get a smile on my face, even when you're singing a sad song like that.
Well, that's a nice feeling, right?
It certainly is.
We need as many smiles as we can get.
Absolutely. That song, Lost Another One, was it inspired by 9/11?
No, it was written way before 9/11. It was inspired by the deaths of Roy Orbison and Harry Nilsson and Frank Zappa and John Candy and George Harrison, Michael Hedges, and John Entwistle.
A whole bunch of people you knew.
Yes.
And it applies also to so many other situations, the 9/11, the sniper, many others.
Absolutely. Loss is, unfortunately, loss.
Yep. And the song is from your most recent album. Just came out, about 2 months ago?
Yeah.
It's called Songs for Survivors, which is a 30-year delayed sequel to your first solo album, Songs for Beginners.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the last one will be.
Well, I'm glad to have you here, and I got lots of stuff to talk to you about, but I first would like you to help out our listeners with the Harris Challenge, okay?
Gotcha.
So hang on for a moment. I'm going to put you in the soundproof booth.
Okay, I'm in.
All right, and we will introduce our first contestant for the Harris Challenge today. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Paul.
Welcome to the Big 550. Tell me about yourself with your five-second cheap plug opportunity. As you know, it can be about you. It can be a suck-up to the boss, a shout-out to a friend, whatever you like.
Oh, no plug, Paul. Graham, your song sounds great.
Huh? Is Graham allowed to respond to that from the soundproof booth? I guess he is. Patrick, say hello to Graham.
Hey, Patrick.
Hello, Graham.
How are you doing, man?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
Let's see what the questions and categories look like for the Harris Challenge today. They're inside the semi-random category computer. I think we know they'll all have one central theme. Category 1, Graham Nash's hit songs. Category 2, CSNY. Category 3, other people named Nash. Which one would you like, Patrick?
CSNY.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. We'll start you with the one-pointer, work our way up to the five-pointer. You get them all right, it's a clean sweep. If you don't get past 6 points, however, you will be punished. And remember, Graham's here to be your lifeline for any one question where you need some help, okay?
Sounds good.
CSNY is the category. Let's play the Harris Challenge. Of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, which two were born in the USA?
Crosby and Young.
No, it's Crosby and Stills. Neil's a Canadian. What group was Graham Nash a member of with hits like Carrie Ann and Bus Stop?
Pass.
Of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, which one was in the Byrds?
Graham Nash.
No, David Crosby was in the Byrds. Who wrote the song Woodstock, which became a hit for Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young?
How about Graham Nash?
How about Joni Mitchell? Of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, which two were in Buffalo Springfield? Remember, you can use them as a lifeline if you like.
We'll do that now.
You want to go on the five-pointer. All right, Graham. Patrick needs help on the five-pointer here.
Yep.
Of you.
Stephen and Neil.
He says it's Stephen Stills and Neil Young. I would trust him if I were you on this one, Patrick.
I'll go with it.
Yeah, 5 points for you. Congratulations. Now, a few seconds left for you to take a guess on the two-pointer. What group was Graham a member of with hits like Carrie Ann and Bus Stop?
Telling the Hollies, Patrick.
The Hollies.
It was the Hollies. You're exactly right. 7 points, Patrick, and you avoid the punishment and go to the top of the Harris Challenge pyramid while we bring in our next contestant, and that's Mike. Welcome to the Big 550.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
I'm good, Mike. Tell me about yourself with your five-second cheap plug opportunity.
I just wanted to say hi to my wife, Kathy, who's a school teacher, and she teaches music at St. John the Baptist.
Say hello.
Hey, hi, Kathy, who teaches music. Cool.
Yeah. Say hello to Graham Nash, Mike.
Hi, Graham. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. I'm weak on this subject, so
no, it's okay. I'll help.
That's okay.
Position myself.
He's here to help you on one question, but first, pick a category: Graham Nash's hit songs or other people named Nash. That's the easiest question I'm going to ask you. Which one would
Graham
you like?
Graham Nash's hit songs, I guess.
Okay, 60 seconds on the clock. Remember, you can use Graham for one question. Let's play the Harris Challenge. In Graham's song, Our House, how many cats are in the yard?
Pass.
In the CSNY song, Ohio, how many people are dead?
Seven.
Four dead in Ohio. What is the first word in Graham's classic song, Teach Your Children?
What is the what?
What is the first word in Graham's song, Teach Your Children? Everyone here in the studio is mouthing it right now.
People?
No, it's you. You who are on the road. Which song did Graham say was about wasting an enormous amount of time on petty issues that should never have kept us from making music?
Pass.
In 1976, when someone bet Graham that he couldn't write a song in 15 minutes before leaving for the airport, what song did he write that went on to be a top 40 hit?
My Lifeline, please.
All right, we're going to go to Graham for the Lifeline again on the five-pointer. Graham, what was that song?
Just a Song Before I Go.
And is that true? Because I've heard that.
It's absolutely true.
I'll say yes. I agree.
Yeah. What's the story on that, Graham?
Well, he was being very flippant with me. He was a friend of mine in Hawaii, and he said, you know, you're just leaving for the airport, but you've got a few minutes. Why don't you just write a song before you go?
And you had 15 minutes before the car was leaving, right?
It was about 20, but that's close enough.
It's still amazing, and he comes up with it. And then were you surprised when it became a hit?
Well, I'm always surprised that anything becomes a hit, yes.
Really? Well, Mike, you end up with 5 points. I'm going to give you a couple extras there so you don't have to be punished while Graham is here. And we're going to call this a tie game so far between you and Patrick, okay?
Thank you, Paul.
All right, hang on. Here's our final contestant now, Rick. Welcome to the Big 550.
How you doing, Paul?
Good. Tell me about yourself with your five-second cheap plug opportunity.
My name's Rick, and I just want to say hi to my friend Jenny down at Dupo Quarry and all my other truck-driving friends, and let's play.
And you want to say hello to Graham Nash.
Yeah, hey, Graham, how you doing?
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Our only category left here, Rick, is other people named Nash.
Okay.
Let's play the Harris Challenge. According to Ogden Nash, candy is dandy, but liquor is what?
Quicker.
Right. Which Academy Award-winning movie was based on the life of John Nash?
Pass.
Which NFL team plays its home games in Nashville?
One more time.
Which NFL team plays its home games in Nashville?
Titans.
That's right, Tennessee Titans. What city does the TV show Nash Bridges take place in?
Pass.
Who starred in this year's flop movie, The Adventures of Pluto Nash, and was once the star of Beverly Hills Cop?
Eddie Murphy.
That's correct. Back to the two-pointer. Which Academy Award-winning movie was based on the life of John Nash? You can use Graham as your lifeline for that or the Nash Bridges question. Either one.
Which one's more points?
Well, why don't we ask Graham if he knows either one? Graham?
I do know that John Nash was a beautiful mind.
Okay.
And Nash Bridges, I'm not sure what city that takes place in. Probably Miami, if I know Don.
No, it's a really hilly West Coast city.
Oh, Marin County, maybe.
San Francisco.
Indeed.
San Francisco. Rick, you have enough points here. You got 11 points altogether on your own, so you've earned yourself a fabulous prize package.
All right.
Which includes dinner for two at Argosy's Alton Bell Casino, tickets to this weekend's Sports Cards Collectible Show, Krispy Kreme donuts.
That's the best.
A necktie from Jerry Garcia's Art in Neckwear collection, available at select Dillard's and famous bar stores. You get an Ultra Car Wash from the Country Club Car Wash, and I'll throw in one of my middle-of-the-day Middle of America coffee mugs, too, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, and thank Graham, too.
Thank you, Graham.
You're welcome, Rick.
Congratulations.
Enjoy.
And Graham, thank you for helping out today.
Thank you very much, man.
Now, while I'm talking to you about questions like the story behind Just a Song Before I Go, let me ask you about a couple other things that I've heard, and you and I have talked many times through the years, and I've never asked you these questions, okay?
Got it.
Is it true that you once did foot stomping on a Jimi Hendrix song?
Yep.
What was the song?
If Six Was Nine.
And how does that happen? Are you just in a studio nearby? Or?
Mitch Mitchell and I used to share an apartment in London, and Mitch, of course, was the drummer in The Experience, and so we used to hang around a lot, and one day we went over to, I think it was Olympic Studios just outside of London where Jimmy was recording, and Jimmy said, hey, you know, do me a favor, put a piece of plywood on the floor and start walking on it in this particular rhythm. And I said, sure, whatever. So he mic'd the board, and I started walking with my friend Gary Leeds, who was the drummer from the Walker Brothers, and that became the rhythm track for If Six Was Nine.
Wow. Are you credited on the album?
I actually have never looked.
All right, another thing that I don't know if this is true or not. Did you do background vocals on one of the Beatles songs from Magical Mystery Tour?
Didn't do vocals, but me and Alan Clark were doing the rhythm stuff. There was they had a wind machine, which was a little kind of a canvas tube that you turned, and it made the sound of wind happening for, what was the B-side of, Baby Was a Rich Man? I forget what the song was, but it was a fun day, I'll tell you that.
Was it Your Mother Should Know?
No.
No? Something else off Magical Mystery Tour, though. And did you know those guys before you went in there?
Oh, yeah. I've known the Beatles since, 1959.
Wow, even before they were the Beatles.
Yeah, they were the Silver Beatles at that point.
Wow. All right, another question for you. I heard that you were once involved in a musical trade. It was you for Richie Furay of Poco, and it was arranged by David Geffen.
Almost true. Geffen did have a lot to do with it. It was probably Neil's lawyer, and I think that that was in fact true, that I was traded for Poco because, you know, I was on Epic Records with the Hollies, and so were Poco, and you know, they wanted to break me free from my contract, you know, to be able to join David and Steven on the same record label, and that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. And so they said, okay, you can go, but this guy has to come here, and unless he comes, you can't go?
That's right.
A musical trade with a drummer to be named later.
Indeed.
Probably. All right, and last I've always heard question. I always heard that you, and maybe it's Crosby, maybe it's Stills, I don't know, did background vocals on the Gary Wright song Dreamweaver.
That was me and David.
You and David?
Yeah.
So you're in the back there going...
Oh, yeah, singing background with Gary.
Wow. Okay. So rumors central here on the Paul Harris Show. Now, talk a little bit about where you are today. You guys toured. Last time we talked was on the last stop of your CSNY2K tour when it was right here in St. Louis.
Right.
And are you going back on the road anytime soon?
Not anytime soon. You know, we've all got individual lives. I'm promoting Songs for Survivors right now. Steven's in the middle of finishing his new album, and I just finished a series of benefits with David in Northern California to raise money to provide instruments and musical education to the children, because, of course, in many schools, music is the first, and the arts are the first thing to be cut in any kind of budget crunch.
That's a real shame. I think is a horrible problem we have in our schools, because music can be a part of any kind of balanced education anywhere.
Well, any study that's been done on the subject knows that when music is in schools and children are interested in music, there's less violence, there's less cutting school, fewer gangs. You know, it's hard to have a gun in your hand if you have a violin.
Yep, and you learn the discipline of music, which could lead to some discipline in life.
Indeed.
Yeah. When did you start playing piano and guitar?
Gosh, I started playing guitar when I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
And piano a little later when I met Steven.
And so did you have music in the schools when you were young?
Yes, we had choirs, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did. And I'm very grateful for that. And, you know... these three benefits that Crosby and I just did were used to raise money for that, yes.
And when was the book that you came out with about songwriting? Was that in the last couple of years as well?
No, that's it's only been out a month.
Oh, okay, so you've got a new book
out as well.
Yeah, it's
called Off the Record.
Off the Record.
Yeah,
and
in the stores right now.
And teaches people who want to be songwriters how to go about the craft?
No, it doesn't teach. What it does is... we talked to about 25 songwriters on why they wrote particular songs. So there's great songs in there like White Rabbit and Dock of the Bay and Wooden Ships and, you know, those kind of songs.
Right.
And so we interviewed everybody as to why they wrote them and how they wrote them and what they were feeling.
You told the story before about writing Just a Song Before I Go, kind of on a bet. Can you force writing? I mean, can you have a time where you sit down and say, okay, 9 o'clock tonight, I'm sitting down, and in an hour, I'm going to have a song?
I've tried that. I've tried every single way, Paul.
And what way works best for you?
Well, let me just say this. It took me about 20 minutes to write Just a Song Before I Go, and it took me 4 years to write Cathedral. So, you know.
And when you do get a song done, do you call up your old buddy David Crosby or Steven or Neil and say, hey?
Those are the second calls. The first call I make is to my wife. And she's usually in the next room.
Yeah, but she comes in and she listens to it. But
Well, you know, I want to play it for my family, you know.
Absolutely. But do you go to David and Stephen and Neil for their advice on a song? Or
no.
So when they heard this CD, the new one, Songs for Survivors, had they heard it before it came out?
David and Stephen had heard every single song, yes. Mm-hmm. And Neil, I don't think had heard any of it.
Well, it's always a pleasure chatting with you. I have made your CD the CD of the week on my website, harrisonline.com. Maybe that'll sell a couple extra copies for you.
Fantastic, Paul. It's always good to talk to you.
And I really appreciate you being the lifeline for the challenge and being a good sport about that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Graham Nash here on the Paul Harris Show on the Big 550 KTRS.